Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Come spend the Sabbath with us. We meet at 828 3rd Street in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin, only 25 minutes from downtown St. Paul. For more information, click on services and location at BethEmmanuel.org.
In the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 10, it says, "And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if your house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." In the Torah portion, Parshat Vayera, we see Abraham practicing exceptional hospitality when he rushes out to greet three strangers. He sees them at a distance. He doesn't beckon to them. Rather, he hurries out from the entrance of his tent. He rushes out to them. He rushes back quickly. He says, "Prepare three measures of fine flour." He runs to the herd. He hurries to prepare it. And then he personally waits on them. He personally attends to these guests. And yet, we know that Abraham was an important man. He had 318 servants born in his household, and he could have sent any single one of those servants to wait on these strangers and oversee the preparations, but he insisted on doing it himself. He hastened to accomplish it with alacrity. And you might think that Abraham did this. He extended such an exceptional show of hospitality for these three men because he knew that these three strangers were actually angels. But the writer of the book of Hebrews makes it clear that as Abraham was rushing around to attend the strangers, he was completely unaware that he was attending to angels. It says in Hebrews 13, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Abraham did no more for the three visitors than what he did for every stranger that showed up. In the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan says that hospitality is one of the things for which a man enjoys a reward in this world, while the greater reward remains for him in the world to come. And the reward for hospitality to strangers is as great as early attendance at the house of study. So as Abraham knocks himself out to host these guests, he doesn't realize he's waiting on angels. But it turns out that he is. And the lesson here is in the category of whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brothers, you did also for me. It's like our master says when he says to his disciples, he says to them, "He who receives one of my disciples receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me." This means that every time that we extend hospitality to a disciple of Yeshua, because he's the disciple of Yeshua, every time you do this, you receive the credit of having extended hospitality to the master himself. And the merit of receiving our master and hosting him is accounted to you as if you had done so for the Almighty, which is, it turns out, what Abraham was in fact doing, in that he was hosting angels, entertaining the angel of the Lord even. Yeshua says, "Anyone who receives a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a tzaddik, a righteous person, will receive a tzaddik's reward." This saying reminds us of the story of Abraham and Sarah, because they extended this hospitality to these guests, and because they extended this hospitality to these guests, they received a blessing from the guests. That is the prophet's reward. When the angel prophesied on behalf of the Lord and said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." This was the prophet's reward. We find the same principle illustrated in the Haftarah portion for Parshat Vayera in 2 Kings chapter 4, the story of Elisha and the Shunammite woman. It says, "One day Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food." So she fixes meals for him. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this is a holy man. who is continually passing our way. Let's make a small room on the roof with walls and put a bed in there for him and a table and a chair and a lamp so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. One day he came there. And he turned into the chamber, and he rested there. And he said to Gehazi's servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, say now to her, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? So he grants her a prophet's reward, and he says to her, at this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And more than that, he also manages to speak to the king on her behalf through his disciple Gehazi later on in the story. So the Shunammite woman receives the prophet's reward for hosting a prophet. Because she hosted the prophet, she receives the prophet's reward. She receives the child and the word on her behalf with the king. So now we are prepared to understand our master's saying. He is speaking in reference to those who host his disciples, and the gist of the saying is this. Abraham and Sarah offered hospitality to strangers that turned out to be angels, and they received the reward of a prophet. The Shunammite woman hosted a prophet, and she received the reward from the prophet. How much more so will those who host my disciples receive a reward? For they are not just hosting my disciples, but he who receives my disciples receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. So your reward for hosting my disciples will be from God. Therefore, anyone who provides one of these little ones, one of my disciples, even the least of my disciples, even just a cup of cold water to drink because he's my disciple, will surely not lose his reward. That's the gist of the saying. Likewise, Abraham's nephew Lot received a reward and a blessing because he showed hospitality to two strangers who showed up in the city of Sodom. In return for the hospitality he demonstrated to them, he and his family were spared the destruction of the city, while the rest of the city showed no hospitality toward the strangers in that they were left to sleep in the city square. Lot brought them into his house. Therefore, the master cites Sodom and Gomorrah as an example of inhospitable behavior. He says, if anyone does not receive you, he says to his disciples, leave that house and that town and shake the dust off your feet. Amen. I say to you, it will be easier for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So now you can see why I wanted to read this passage, these passages from Matthew 10. These passages amount to our master's commentary on the Torah portion, Parshat Vayera. And if we show hospitality, especially to the disciples of our master and to the Jewish people, the least of his brothers, even the least of his brothers, he says, the Jewish people, then he will say to us, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. This entire discussion, and especially the issue of showing hospitality, is pertinent to the three campaigns we have undertaken this year at Beth Emanuel. And I am referring to the three campaigns that I introduced on the first day of the Festival of Sukkot, Come Home to Hudson, Oneg Shabbat, and the Bible School, that is the Messianic Jewish Learning Center. Come Home to Hudson is about enticing our brothers and sisters from around the country in the Messianic Jewish movement to make a transition and move here to Hudson to join us at Beth Emanuel in our efforts for the kingdom. Hospitality will play a key component in this because we need to be ready to receive anyone who does elect to make that transition, or anyone who visits because they're considering making the transition. We need to demonstrate hospitality and welcome these disciples with the exceptional hospitality of Abraham, our father, and Sarah, our mother. The gracious host says, make yourself at home, and that's what we want. We want people to feel so welcomed when they come to visit that they feel at home and they make Hudson their home. Ultimately, that should be the objective anyway. Every stranger who comes through the doors of a Messianic synagogue should be welcomed home, should be graciously welcomed. Every disciple who enters a Messianic synagogue should be made to feel at home because that's what's happening when we enter a Messianic synagogue. We are coming home after 2,000 years away. So we need to make people feel welcomed, make them feel at home. Though everything about the synagogue and Messianic Judaism might seem strange and unfamiliar, they should nonetheless find the Messianic community to be warm and welcoming. The Bible School, the Messianic Jewish Learning Center, is about hospitality too, in that we are hoping and praying to bring young Messianic Jewish and Gentile students to Hudson to study and learn with us. And we will need to provide them with homes, and we will need to provide them with places to live, and we will need to provide them with Sabbath tables to visit on Friday nights and so forth, them and their families. And we will be hosting these students not for a weekend, not for an overnight, but we will be hosting these students, God willing, here at Beth Emanuel for an academic year. So it's going to stretch us. So both of these campaigns, the Come Home to Hudson and the Messianic Jewish Learning Center campaign, both of these have a lot to do with hospitality. But it's the Oneg Shabbat campaign that I am the most excited about in regard to hospitality. As I explained when I introduced the campaign, part of this effort involves organizing and equipping people around the country to transform their homes into what I am calling Sabbath fellowship houses, or Shabbat houses if you prefer. The Shabbat house is when you take your own home and you open it up for one of the three meals of the Sabbath. Maybe Friday night for Erev Shabbat, maybe Saturday afternoon for Kiddush Rabbah, maybe late Saturday afternoon for Sudat Shlishit, the third meal, and Havdalah, and then Malave Malcha, or maybe all of them. The idea is that through the magic of Sabbath hospitality, we can create venues around the country where disciples of Yeshua can be received into homes and experience the Sabbath. And in this way, we will propagate and grow Sabbath observance among believers in Yeshua. And with God's help, we will find families and even individuals who are of the right spirit with the hospitality of Abraham and Sarah. And when we find these candidates, then we will help them set up Sabbath fellowship houses, which means basically that we're going to equip them as best we can to host Sabbath meals in their homes. Ideally, these will be open events every week. You know, but maybe a household feels intimidated by every week. That sounds like a lot. Maybe one Friday night a month. Slowly ease into a more regular hosting situation. The Shabbat House campaign involves inviting in anyone who wants to attend. It involves a traditional Sabbath meal, that's for sure, but using easy-to-sing songs in English and Hebrew and a short teaching from the Torah portion, which can be read right at the table, a word of the Master. I would recommend using the Edrash that we already send out through First Fruits of Zion every week. A word from the Master, the e-disciple that we send out through First Fruits of Zion. We can supply all of that. And we're already supplying those things. So this is really, I think, low-hanging fruit. This is an easy thing to accomplish. I just need people to be excited about it with me. We just need people who will be willing to open their homes and open their hearts. These Sabbath houses can spring up all over the country, and they can spread the delight of the Sabbath to our brothers and sisters, to Messianic Jews, Messianic Gentiles, to Gentile Christians, all over, in places that we at Beth Emanuel, or even we at First Fruits of Zion, would never be able to reach otherwise. That's the goal of that campaign. Yeshua says, when we invite people into our homes, we should be careful not to invite the type of people who will invite us back to their homes. You know, we should be careful not to invite the type of people who are going to ruin the mitzvah for us by reciprocating. Instead, we should be the most eager to show hospitality to those who do not have the means or the ways to repay us in any way. Why? Because, he says, then the reward for the hospitality that we show them will be waiting for us in the kingdom. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So Yeshua teaches us here that the reward for hospitality, the great reward for hospitality, remains intact for us in the world to come at the resurrection of the righteous. Jewish legend boasts about the great hospitality that Abraham and Sarah offered. Abraham's tent had doors facing all four directions to receive travelers from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They come to Abraham's table from all four directions. And Sarah kept the curtains of her tent pulled up to welcome guests. And Abraham took in strangers and fed them and protected them and treated them like royalty, all for the sake of heaven. And the thing is that Abraham and Sarah had an ulterior motive. They were using hospitality to spread monotheism and the knowledge of God. So there, in the Midrash Rabbah, there's a funny story like this. It says in the Midrash Rabbah that after the meal, after they ate and drank from the table of Abraham, Abraham would say, "Now it's time to bless God, to bless Hashem." And they would say, "Well, how do we do that? What should we say?" And he replied, "Well, here's how you say it. You say, 'Blessed is the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, from whose bounty we've eaten.'" And so thus he was inculcating them with monotheism. And if the guest agreed to say this blessing, then he would eat and drink and go on his way. But if he refused to bless God, he said, "No, I don't, you know, I have my own gods." Or if he said, "I don't believe that one God made heaven and earth." If he refused to bless God like this, Abraham would say, "Well, in that case, then you owe me for the meal." And the guest would say, "Well, how much do I owe you?" And Abraham said, "Well, you know, out here in the Negev, prices are pretty steep. A pitcher of wine, 10 coins. A pound of meat, 10 coins. A loaf of bread, 10 coins. And so he'd add it up. And you add up the cheshbon and the bill. And the guests would immediately consent to bless God rather than to pay these terrible, terribly high inflated prices. This is a funny story. It's sort of a joke from the Midrash Rabbah. But in my own experience with Sabbath hospitality, there's some truth to this idea of using the Sabbath, using the Sabbath table to share our faith. And to share an experience with God, to introduce God through the Sabbath table. And my own first experience at the Sabbath table was at the table of my brother Steve and his wife, who hosted me and my parents for an Erev Shabbat meal in his home. And that was all it took to sell me. I never forgot the experience. And I left his Sabbath table wishing I had something like that in my own spiritual life. And then when I met my wife and she told me about Friday nights spent at the Shabbat table in Hasidic homes and the impression it made on her as a young girl, one of the first questions we asked, my wife and I asked when we visited Messianic congregation for the first time, one of the first questions we asked was, "Well, what's your vision for this? What are you doing? Are you gonna teach people about hosting Sabbath meals and inviting in guests?" And, you know, there's like crickets, you know, no response. There was no one at this so-called Messianic Jewish congregation that seemed to have any clue what we were talking about. So we set out to teach them, and I created a Sabbath table siddur by piecing a liturgy together from Chayan Donin's book To Pray as a Jew, and we started inviting people over for Sabbath meals, and that's how it started. And from then on, we tried to have guests as often as we could. It was a big deal. I remember on one occasion, one night when we had no guests and my wife set an extra place at the Sabbath table just in case someone should show up. And sure enough, we had just sat down to eat and an old friend knocks on the door. He just happened to be in town. He thought he'd drop by. Just one guy. He needed a meal. He needed someone to talk to. He needed some spiritual direction. I don't know how women know this sort of stuff. She just knows stuff. But it's always been my experience. Any day of the week, you can't visit a Jewish home without being offered food. And you can't leave without being given food to take home, because hospitality is this huge cultural value among the Jewish people. And it all starts here in this Torah portion. Our community, our congregation at Beth Emanuel, we put an incredible amount of energy into providing Sabbath hospitality. We provide 108 Sabbath meals a year. You figure 54 meals of Kiddush Rabban, 54 meals of Sudat Shlishit, the third meal. And that's without, you know, figuring in the festival meals or special events or conferences. Or that's just regular Sabbaths, regular day in, day out, week in, week out Sabbaths, 108 meals a year. So if on average we're filling, say, and I'll be very conservative here, we'll say it's a really small, 60 plates at Kiddush Rabbah and 25 plates at third meal, that comes out in my math to be just over 9,000 Sabbath guests served in a year. And if you add to that the festivals, and the real numbers, were well over 10,000 plates of food every year, and that's pretty awesome. But it's not only awesome because it's 10,000 plates of food that's being provided by volunteers. What's really awesome is that this is not a potluck. Rather, this is food produced in a kosher kitchen, according to the standards of Jewish law, so that everyone can eat with us, especially Jewish people can eat with us. I mean, can you imagine serving meals at a Messianic Jewish congregation that were not kosher, that excluded observant Jews from participating? What would be the point? It would be like saying, well, yeah, this is a Messianic Jewish congregation, but we only serve Gentiles here. So you realize we're serving more than 10,000 kosher Sabbath meals. That's awesome. It's huge. It's an amazing opportunity. You will not lose your reward. Whoever hosts a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Whoever hosts a righteous person receives a righteous person's reward. And whoever hosts a disciple of Yeshua receives our master's reward. And he'll say, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. As Abraham and Sarah were entertaining their guests, the archangel Michael, speaking on behalf of Hashem in the capacity of the Malach Hashem, the angel of the Lord, said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? And from this we learn that when you are a guest, it's polite to inquire after the welfare of the household, which is what Yeshua said to his disciples. When you come into the house, ask of its shalom. And this is an idiom, of course. Sha'al shalom means to greet someone and to ask about one's well-being. Ma shalomka? How's your shalom? How are you? And if the household's worthy, he says, let your shalom remain upon it. And this is the blessing of the disciples. So the angel inquired after Abraham's wife, and he replied, she's there in the tent. Sarah's tent occupies an important place in Jewish and apostolic mysticism. It's based on an allusion to Isaiah 54, where the prophet Isaiah metaphorically depicts Jerusalem as a barren woman with a tent, which sounds like Sarah. So the prophet Isaiah predicts that the barren woman, Zion, will have so many children that she must stretch the curtains of her tent wide to accommodate the crowds. Isaiah 54, beginning in verse 1, says, shout for joy, O barren one. You who have borne no children, break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud. You who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married one, says the Lord. So enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. This prophecy calls on us to provide hospitality. The sages who created the Midrash understood the words, speaking of this barren Zion, this barren woman, enlarging the place of her tent, spreading and stretching the cord, spreading abroad. They understood this as an allusion to Sarah's tent. Sarah's tent, which was always open to guests, always open to anyone who was seeking hospitality. The sages followed Isaiah's lead and created a connection between Sarah's tent and the temple in Jerusalem. In the Midrash, Sarah spreads her tent curtains wide to receive the guests, and a cloud of glory hovers over her tent to provide shade for the guests. And a blessing rests on Sarah's bread dough so that the bread that she makes for the Sabbath remains fresh and warm all week long from Sabbath to Sabbath. And Sarah's Sabbath lamp, the lamp she lights for the Sabbath, the oil is not exhausted and it burns all week long. And these are all, you know, these are the miracles of Sarah's tent, but you notice these are all Sabbath themes, Shabbat miracles. So, did Abraham and Sarah keep the Sabbath? Well, according to the Midrash, not only did they keep the Sabbath, but God invested their Sabbath observance with miracles because of the merit and virtue of the hospitality that they showed to their guests. We'll learn more about that when we study Chaye Sarah, God willing, but I wanted to mention it here now because it's pertinent to this idea of Sabbath hospitality. And you should notice that all these miracles that are attributed to Sarah's tent are miracles associated with the temple. The cloud of glory overshadowed the temple. The Sabbath lamp that did not go out corresponds to the western light of the menorah that did not burn out in the temple. The Sabbath bread that stayed fresh and warm from Sabbath to Sabbath corresponds to the bread of the presence that stayed fresh and warm from Sabbath to Sabbath in the temple. It's the miracles of the temple. And we find a similar idea in the Haftarah portion when the Shunammite says regarding Elisha the prophet, let's make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. This language should remind us of the temple in which there was a table, the bread of the presence. There was a chair, the mercy seat, the chair of the Almighty. There was the lamp, the menorah that burned before the Lord. So the Shunammite places a bed and a table and an oil lamp in the room for Elisha. Tz'ena Yerena says, this shows that one who takes guests into his home is like one who builds a mishkan, a sanctuary, for the Shekinah, for the divine presence to dwell in. The first Hebrew letters of the words bed, table, chair, and lamp combine to create the acronym for the Hebrew word Mishkan, sanctuary. So bed is mitah, so we take the mem. Table is shulchan, so we take the shin. Chair is kiseh, so we take the kaf. And lamp is ner, so we take the nun, and we get mem, shin, kaf, nun, mishkan, sanctuary. So this alludes to the idea that our homes are to be little sanctuaries. And our tables represent the holy altar. And the food on the altar, especially at the Sabbath meals, represents the sacrifices that were placed on the altar. And the table fellowship with one another, with disciples, as we come around the Sabbath table, this represents the priesthood. We are, as it were, a nation of priests, a holy people, a kingdom of priests, participating in the worship of God in this little mishkan, this little sanctuary. These ideas are woven into this midrash about Sarah's tent and her great hospitality. And we'll pick up that discussion again in Chaye Sarah, but for now it's sufficient to notice that these are Sabbath miracles, the Sabbath lamp, the Sabbath bread. It's a picture of Abraham and Sarah, the father and the mother of our faith, and the Sabbath. Now here's the task for us. Are we sons of Abraham? If so, how can we participate in the mitzvah of hospitality better? How can we do Sabbath hospitality better? Here at Beth Emmanuel, we need dishwashers. We need cooks. We need donations for the food we serve. We need people to open their homes on Friday nights. We need more people taking on the yoke of Sabbath meal hosting. We need more people to help us connect potential guests with hosts. And we need help and we need energy in organizing the Sabbath house outreaches and the Oneg Shabbat campaigns. There's no lack of work. There's no lack of opportunity for this work. This is not a comfortable place to be a spectator. We're serving 10,000 plates a year. And everyone, absolutely everyone, should be contributing to that effort because it's who we are. Beth Emmanuel Sabbath Fellowship, it's right in the name. It says in the prophecy, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And we need to remember that when we invite guests into our home to experience the Shabbat with us, a word of Torah, a word of gospel, to bless the Lord with us, to worship the Almighty with us. We are doing the work of the kingdom. We are spreading the blessing and the holiness of the seventh day and testifying to the God who made heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, as our master says, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.